Welcome to another deep dive. We got an interesting thesis sent to us this week, all about how churches in Australia are trying to make faith relevant, for the 21st century, specifically in the Uniting Church. It's by Craig Duncan Mitchell.
Okay.
And get this, the title is Reforming Christian Education. Pretty catchy, right?
It is.
We'll be looking mostly at the conclusion chapter today. Ready to jump in?
Let's do it.
Okay, so the thesis is tackling this big question. How can Christian education actually help people grow in their faith and feel inspired to make a difference in the world? We're not just talking about Sunday school here, right?
No, it's about going a lot deeper than that. It's exploring how communities learn and then live out their faith, but like actively.
Right, actively.
Mitchell uses this term praxis, which basically just means taking action based on, what you've learned and thought about.
Yeah.
He's arguing that Christian education should be what helps people become active participants in their community and the world around them.
So it's less about just memorizing Bible verses and more about actually like embodying your faith and your
You
actions.
got it. It's putting faith into practice,
Yeah.
literally. And, he even suggests that maybe Christian education has become, I don't know, too inward focused over time
Yeah.
and needs a little reformation to bring back that outward mission-driven element.
That's a really good point. It makes you wonder how many of us were given the tools to connect faith and actions, in a really meaningful way,
Right.
like truly meaningful.
Yeah, and that's where it gets really interesting. One of the key things Mitchell explores is the idea of the congregation itself, like being a learning community. What comes to mind when you hear that phrase, a learning community?
I think of a place where it's okay to ask questions. You can kind of bounce ideas around and even challenge each other's perspectives, but respectfully, of course. It should be a place where people feel comfortable,
Yeah.
you know?
I think that's a great place to start. And actually, Mitchell found that thriving learning communities in churches all shared a few key elements. Open and trusting relationships were huge, places where people felt safe to be vulnerable. They also really emphasized encouragement, like celebrating people's growth and fostering a sense of belonging.
So it's not just about the information that's being shared, but about the entire environment, like creating a space where people actually feel supported.
You're absolutely right. It's about the whole experience. Mitchell actually calls this generativity and breaks it down into three dimensions. So first you have that like foundation of trust and openness, kind of like the fertile soil where everything can grow. So then the second dimension is the understanding that like the congregation's always evolving, always learning, moving forward together on this like journey of faith. It's like we're all on a pilgrimage,
I like that. A pilgrimage.
Yeah.
So what's the third dimension?
It's what he calls adaptive learning. This is where it goes beyond just absorbing information. It's learning that leads to real change, and not just for like individuals, but the whole community.
So being willing to reflect on your experiences and then shift your perspective to adapt to like new challenges, there's a real sense of like movement there.
You got it. There's definitely movement. And that leads us to another part of the thesis that I found fascinating. The congregation, as a community of practice, it sounds a bit academic, but it's a really cool concept.
Okay, break it down for me. What does community of practice even mean?
Think of it this way. It's recognizing that our habits, our rituals, our actions, our practices, they're all important in shaping our faith. Things like prayer or attending worship or volunteering, those are all
Okay,
practices.
that makes sense. It's not just about what you believe up here, it's how that belief is, expressed in your actions.
Yes, exactly. It's about how you live it out. And actually, Mitchell specifically calls out worship, hospitality, and small group fellowship as like key examples that he observed in the congregations. And you know what he found?
What's that?
When those practices were done authentically and intentionally, they actually helped people grow spiritually, it strengthened their relationships, and it even gave them a sense of purpose.
Wow, that's actually pretty powerful. It's like those actions, those practices, they become ways of making faith real,
They do.
making it tangible.
Exactly, like a living expression of what you believe. But Mitchell found something interesting about how the leaders in these congregations talked about, I guess, the why behind these
Oh,
practices.
what do you mean?
Well, there wasn't a lot of consistency in how they connected those practices to God's presence or God's guidance. It's like they were all speaking slightly different languages when it came to, faith development.
So they were doing the right things, but maybe not always explaining why in a unified way.
Right, exactly. And Mitchell suggests that this might be an area where churches could grow,
right?
You know, developing a more shared language and understanding of how those practices nurture faith.
Yeah, I could see how that would be helpful. Having a common language could help churches be even more like intentional and effective in how they approach Christian education.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of effectiveness, that brings us to another crucial piece of this puzzle.
Yeah.
Leadership. I'm sure you've experienced this yourself. Good leadership can make or break a community.
Oh, tell me about it.
Okay.
Especially in a church context where leaders play such a big role in shaping the learning environment.
They do.
Encouraging growth.
Hmm.
So what kind of leadership does it take to build these like thriving learning communities that we're talking about?
Well, Mitchell uses this term leadership ethos, which refers to the values, the beliefs, and actions that guide those who lead.
Okay.
It's not just about having the right title, but about embodying a certain way of being, you know, within the community.
Yeah, I like that. So walk me through some of the qualities that Mitchell identified.
Well, one of the big ones was initiative. Leaders who were willing to, you know, experiment, try new things.
Right.
Makes sense.
Right. Yeah. You got to have someone who's not afraid to, like, think outside the box if you're going to create a dynamic learning environment.
Exactly. Visionary leadership was also essential. Leaders who can, you know, paint a picture of what's possible and inspire people to work towards it.
Yeah, you got to have someone who can get people excited about the future, right?
Exactly. And this next part connects to something you mentioned earlier about feeling comfortable.
Okay.
He found that leaders who were really good at building relationships and creating that, you know, culture of trust and openness, they were much more effective at fostering growth.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I can see how a leader who's approachable and genuine would make people feel more comfortable opening up and learning.
Totally. And one more thing. Mitchell found that the most effective leaders were also passionate about their own learning and growth.
Oh, interesting.
It wasn't just about expecting others to learn. They were actively engaged in the process themselves.
Ah, leading by example.
Exactly. And to illustrate this point, Mitchell uses a really beautiful metaphor. He compares leadership to winemaking.
Winemaking. Okay, now you got my attention.
Think about it. The leaders, like the winemaker, they immerse themselves in the community, they nurture its potential, and they help people experience, you know, the richness of life, just like a winemaker carefully tends to the grapes to create a complex and flavorful wine.
I love that image. It really captures that sense of dedication and care that goes into good leadership.
Exactly. It shows that leadership isn't about control or power.
Right.
It's about empowering others to, like, discover their potential and contribute to the community.
It's about creating the conditions where people can flourish.
Yes, exactly. Both individually and collectively. And, you know, when you have that kind of leadership, the positive effects ripple throughout the whole congregation.
So we've talked about leadership and learning, but where does mission fit into all of this? Like, how does all this learning actually translate into making a difference in the world? That is a great question. It's all well and good to have these, like, thriving learning communities, but what's the point if it doesn't lead to some kind of action?
You're exactly right. It can't just stay within the church walls. And that's something that Mitchell explores in depth. He actually argues that learning and mission are, like, inseparable.
Yeah.
Deepening your faith should naturally lead to greater engagement with the world around you.
Right. It's like your faith isn't meant to be kept bottled up.
No.
It's meant to, like, flow outwards and impact the world. What are some of the examples that Mitchell found of churches actually living this out?
Well, some of them talked about being a locus of mission. It's a cool concept. It basically means that the congregation itself becomes this central hub and mission flows outwards into the community.
So it's not just about going out and doing mission work. It's about the entire congregation embodying a missional spirit.
Exactly. And you know what? Mitchell found that some congregations were very intentional about weaving that missional focus into every aspect of their life together. You know, worship, small groups, even social gatherings. It was like mission wasn't just an activity. It was a way of life.
I love that. Did he find any other interesting approaches?
Definitely. Another key thing was discipleship as mission.
Okay, break that down for me.
Basically, it means that growing in your faith, the act of discipleship itself, is a form of mission.
Interesting. It's like your personal transformation becomes a witness to others, like a quiet form of mission.
You got it. And Mitchell also found that many congregations were really in tune with the needs of their local communities. They were asking questions like, what are the specific challenges that people in our community are facing? How can we use our, you know, resources and talents to make a difference?
It's about being responsive to the context.
It is.
You know, and not just applying some generic mission template.
Exactly. It's about being grounded in your community and finding practical ways to meet those needs, whether that's, you know, providing food or offering support to families or just being a welcoming presence in the neighborhood.
It's about making your faith, like, tangible, relevant to the people around you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Mitchell actually points to a couple of specific learning approaches that were really effective at connecting faith with action in these congregations.
Okay, I'm all ears.
One is called action reflection learning. It's actually pretty straightforward. You do something, and then you reflect on the experience.
Ah, so it's not just about passively absorbing information. It's about learning by doing and then using those experiences to, like, inform future actions.
Yes, exactly. It's like you can read all you want about riding a bike, but you'll never truly learn until you actually get on and try.
So true. What was the other one he mentioned?
Learning from experience, which is similar but a little bit broader. It's the idea that we're constantly learning from everything we do, our successes, our failures, our interactions with others.
Okay, so it's about being open to learning from all of life's experiences.
It is.
Not just the ones that happen in a formal setting.
Right, exactly. And Mitchell points out that this type of learning is often what he calls dialogical, meaning it happens through conversations and sharing stories and perspectives with others.
So it's not just passively absorbing information. It's about a dynamic exchange of ideas.
Exactly.
And experiences.
And, you know, that brings us back to the importance of community.
Right.
The more we share our experiences and our reflections, the more we learn and grow. Mm-hmm. And when that happens within a faith community, it can be incredibly powerful.
Absolutely. We've covered so much ground already. Learning communities, communities of practice, leadership, mission. Is there anything else that Mitchell dives into?
Oh, yeah. There is one more tool that I found particularly helpful. He calls it the theme matrix.
A matrix? Interesting.
I know. It's essentially a visual representation that connects a congregation's learning culture, its leadership, and its missional focus.
So it's like a map that lays out all the different pieces that contribute to a thriving Christian education program.
Exactly. And then Mitchell highlights key themes within each of those categories. So, for example, in the learning community category, he emphasizes things like positive relationships, a welcoming environment, and opportunities for people to participate and use their gifts.
Oh, okay.
Which are all things that we've talked about, right?
Right, like those key elements of a thriving community.
And then in the leadership category, he emphasizes, you know, relationship building, vision, allowing people the freedom to try new things, and a culture of, like, equipping and developing new leaders.
Okay.
Again, stuff that we talked about. And then finally, in the mission category, he talks about the congregation being that, you know, locus of mission that we talked about, the importance of, like, sending people into mission and starting with where the community is at.
Right. Listening to their needs.
Exactly. So it's like this matrix. It helps you to see how all the pieces fit together, the learning, the leadership, the mission.
Yeah, I can see how that would be helpful.
It's a roadmap for intentional Christian education.
I'm really loving this deep dive. It's given me a lot to think about already.
Me too. And the best part is, we're just getting started.
I'm still thinking about, like, how this thesis connects everything, you know? Mm-hmm. Learning, leadership, mission, it all comes back to community.
Yeah, Mitchell's really given us a holistic picture of what Christian education could be. Like, not just a program.
Right.
But part of how the church actually functions.
And I love how he moves beyond just the classroom, you know? And shows that learning can happen anywhere.
Absolutely.
In a vibrant community.
Yeah, he's got all these real world examples too. Like, it's not just theory. He spent time watching churches in action, talking to people, getting a feel for what's working.
Exactly. That's what makes this thesis so valuable. It's grounded in what's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of those examples that stood out to you?
Well, one thing that kept coming up was this idea of being intentional. You can't just, I don't know, stumble into this and hope for the best.
Right. It takes a plan.
Yeah. It takes planning and reflection. A willingness to try new things.
Right. To adapt.
Exactly.
It's like a gardener.
Okay.
They don't just scatter seeds and hope for the best, right? They prepare the soil. They tend to the plants.
That's a great analogy.
They adapt their approach, you know?
Yeah. It's about asking those important questions.
Right. What are the goals?
Like, what kind of environment do we want to create?
Mm-hmm.
How can we equip leaders? How does this all connect to our mission?
It sounds like every church needs to, like, really wrestle with these questions.
I think so.
And to have a vision, you know?
Absolutely. But Mitchell also recognizes that there's no, you know, one size fits all.
Of course, every church is different.
Yeah, every church is unique. You know, they all have different strengths, different challenges, different contexts.
So the way we go about reforming Christian education is going to look different for everyone.
Yeah, he's not trying to give you, you know, a cookie cutter program. Yeah. It's more like giving you a framework, a new way of thinking about it.
It's like handing you the tools and saying, okay, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out what works for you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned reforming Christian education earlier, and it got me thinking, did Mitchell, I don't know, look at the Bible for how faith should be this, you know, transformative process?
You know what? He does. He uses some great biblical imagery to really drive home his points.
Oh, I love when they do that.
Remember that winemaking metaphor?
How could I forget? That was so vivid.
Well, Mitchell takes it even further. He connects it to what Jesus says in John about, you know, abiding in him and bearing fruit.
Oh, the vine and the branches. Right.
Yes.
It's such a powerful image.
Right. So Mitchell connects that to the idea of leaders being deeply rooted in God's love, you know, and then letting that love flow out to the community through their actions.
Right. Creating the conditions for others to grow.
Yes. And it gets even better.
Okay.
Mitchell brings in the Trinity, too. He says the vine and branches image reflects that interconnectedness between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Oh, wow. So it's not just about, you know, individual growth. It's about our connection with God.
Yes. And each other.
With each other, yeah.
He also brings in this idea from Acts, the oikos of God.
Oikos, what is that?
Basically means the household of God. It's how they describe that early Christian community, you know, united by their faith,
right,
living it out together.
That sense of belonging, yeah.
Right. So Mitchell suggests that just like a family home nurtures growth, you know, so too should the church. It should be that space where people can grow in their faith.
I can see why this thesis has really resonated with you. It's a beautiful vision of what church could be.
And the thing is, he doesn't shy away from the challenges either, you know?
Right.
He recognizes that the world is changing so fast, and the old ways of doing things, well, they just might not cut it anymore.
We can't just coast on tradition.
Exactly. We need to adapt, innovate, find fresh ways to, you know, connect with people.
But how do you do that and stay true to, you know, what we believe?
Right. That's the million-dollar question. And actually, Mitchell gives us some clues. Remember, we were talking about community of practice.
Yeah.
He says we need to rediscover those ancient practices, you know, that shaped our faith.
Oh, like prayer and worship.
Yes.
Service and fellowship.
Exactly. But he doesn't mean we should go back to, like, wearing togas. It's about reimagining these practices for the 21st century.
I like that.
He gives examples of churches doing this, you know, experimenting with different kinds of worship or using technology in new ways.
Yeah, blending tradition with innovation.
Exactly. Mitchell also emphasizes that we need to be contextually relevant.
What do you mean by contextual relevant?
It means recognizing that the challenges people face today, well, they're different. Right. Well, than they were 50 years ago.
Right.
So we need to be asking, how can we speak to what people are going through right now? What keeps them up at night?
We have to move beyond the church walls, I guess.
Yeah. And listen deeply.
To really hear people's struggles.
And find those points of connection. Mitchell says that when we do that, Christian education becomes more than just an internal process. It becomes a force for good.
I like that. Faith is a force for good.
Yeah. It's about putting those good intentions into action, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I found so inspiring about this thesis. It makes you want to go back and try something new.
It makes you want to take action.
Yes.
It sounds like his goal was to inspire, you know, not just educate.
To empower us, right?
Yeah.
To take ownership of our faith and make it come alive.
Exactly. And remember, reforming Christian education, it's not a one-time thing.
Right.
It's a process, you know?
Yeah, it's ongoing.
There's no finish line.
Just like our own faith journeys, always growing, always evolving.
And speaking of journeys, our deep dive continues. We'll be right back with some final thoughts.
We're back for the final part of our deep dive. This thesis has been like a breath of fresh air, you know?
It has.
For anyone who cares about faith and community, Mitchell gives us a lot to think about.
He really does. He ties it all together so well. Mm. Learning, leading, mission, you know.
It's a really inspiring vision.
It is.
Before we wrap up, I think it would be good to go over like the key takeaways.
Yeah.
The things people can actually apply. What are like the big aha moments for you?
I think the first one is that Christian education is about more than just head knowledge, you know?
Right.
It's about creating that community where people can grow. where they feel empowered to live out their faith.
It's about heart transformation, right? Not just knowing the information.
Exactly.
But really living it.
And that brings us to the second one.
Okay.
That idea of being intentional. Mitchell makes it so clear that if we want to see vibrant Christian education,
yeah,
it takes effort.
Right. It's not going to just happen.
You have to ask those tough questions.
Yeah.
Be willing to adapt.
It's about being like that gardener.
Yes.
Always tending, always learning.
I love that analogy.
What else?
Okay. Remember that three-legged stool? Mitchell really emphasizes that connection, you know?
Right.
Between learning, leading, and mission. It can't just be one or the other.
Yeah, if one leg's wobbly,
exactly,
the whole thing falls apart.
It all has to work together.
I think our listeners are probably starting to see those connections too, you know?
I think so. In their own experience.
In their own lives, yeah. Okay, what's next?
I think another important takeaway is just the power of community.
Mm. Yeah.
We need those safe spaces, right? Where we can ask questions.
Right.
Where we can support each other.
It's that sense of belonging. And it all comes back to that, doesn't it?
It does. That shared purpose.
Okay, so what's the last takeaway then?
Okay, this one's important.
Okay.
It's that reforming Christian education, well, it never really ends.
Right, it's an ongoing process.
Just like our faith.
Right, we're always growing, always learning.
And you know how Mitchell ends his thesis?
How?
With this thought-provoking question. He asks, what actions can individuals and communities take to make it more impactful?
Oh, that's good. So he's not just leaving us with information.
No.
He's pushing us to act.
He wants us to find what works, you know.
In our own context.
Yeah. For each of us, it's a call to action.
I really like that. This deep dive has given me a lot to think about.
Me too. Mm-hmm. I hope it's done the same for our listeners.
I hope they'll go back to their communities, you know, and try some of these things.
That's the goal, right?
And if they want to learn more, they should definitely read the whole thesis.
It's a great resource. It really is.
That's all the time we have for this deep dive.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
And keep those conversations going. Keep learning. Keep diving deep.